Sunday school lessons. I've entitled this little series, The Road to Ruin. Kind of show you how we, as a country, as a society, as really the world in general, how we have come to the place where it really seems as if there's no, I realize that the Bible says there's no fear of God before their eyes. But we're living in a day and age when there is absolutely little or no respect for the things of God, for the Word of God, for the Lord's church, for Christianity in general. And a lot of it has to do with relying on sources for instruction and education that are impure, that appeal to the depraved nature of man. And it's a constant fight to war against Satan, against false teaching. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers and high places. And it's a constant battle that Christianity has always had with the world. This week, as I was meditating, a lot of times when I walk, I think, I pray, and I thought, everything about Christianity, everything we believe that we stand for in the Word of God is countercultural. I mean, we don't fit in this world. And if we are actually living out and believing what the Bible says, we can't have any agreement with those who believe in evolution and all the evils that have come out of that. You can't have fellowship with those who believe in sexual immorality in whatever form it takes. And yet, that promiscuity and sexual immorality it's probably very similar to the way it was in the first century when paganism and heathenism ruled much of the known world. We're living in a society that continually goes against the grain of God's Word and God's truth. This isn't a surprise if you've read your Bible. And you find that as time progresses and we get closer to the Lord's return, the Bible says that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. They'll be more evil. The things that they teach, that they propagate, will be more wicked. They'll be more brazen. They'll be more open in their immorality. And the fact of the matter is, you can see it in the day and age in which we live. The anti-Semitism, the basically Jew hatred, is nothing new. I mean, but it's gotten fiercer. And it's become more acceptable. I mean, we've got politicians in the United States of America that are standing up and defending Hamas and Hezbollah and Iran. And I'm telling you, the Muslim religion, I don't care what George Bush said years ago, it is not a religion of peace. It is one, if you understand what they really believe, they want domination. It's not a religion of peace. It's one of fear and cruelty against their enemies. And yet, the world seems to be accepting of a lot of this complete and utter insanity. It's the road to ruin. Now, we looked at last week or the couple weeks ago. A lot of this has come about because people have completely turned off the Word of God and look to the so-called experts in order to find the answers. And the Bible says the wise men are dismayed and taken. They have rejected the word of the Lord. What wisdom is in them? Now, mind you, if I needed to have my appendix taken out, I wouldn't look up in the Bible and try to find out how to do it myself. Okay? I would go to an expert, hopefully somebody that knew something about removing my appendix. Okay? We're not talking about that. We're talking about spiritual warfare, instruction, education, and in a large degree, the American people and the world at large have turned everything over to the experts. And that's why if you were to take a poll today, I would almost guarantee you that, and this is probably a low figure, but probably 90% of the world today believes in evolution, or the civilized world believes in evolution. And yet it's one of the biggest farces that has ever been set forth by man. Everything about creation screams that there is an intelligent design to it. That it couldn't have come about by just random chance and acts with no purpose. And yet, most of the world believes that. And I think a lot of that teaching, it's gotten so bad that people think that the idea that socialism is that really man can fix everything. Because he's got the intelligence, he is advanced and he's evolving. And look what's happened since that ideology has come about. We've got more problems than ever. Complex problems. Well, what are some of the falsehoods that have brought us to this place that people readily accept and that are prevalent in our world? And these are elementary things. But the first thing is, and especially regarding children, the raising of children, the birth of children, I believe with all my heart that children are a gift of God. They are to be treasured, loved, disciplined, trained, taught. They don't come about by chance. It's by divine ordination. God is in control of life. He is the one that brings the sperm and the egg together. He is the one that brings life in the womb of a mother and sustains it all the way to birth. Psalm 139 teaches that. Psalm 58:3 teaches that we are human beings from the womb. The world rejects that about children. They believe it's a growth inside of a woman. It's not a growth, it's a person. An individual. Now, a lot of people believe what I'm going to tell you right now. That children are born in a state of complete innocence. Now, you're going to see how I tie this up. That is one of the biggest heresies ever hatched out of hell. Children are born with a sinful nature. Now, don't get me wrong, okay? I've always got to give this disclaimer. Nobody can deny children are precious. Sweet, adorable. I mean, they look so innocent. I remember all the time that my kids were born, you know, I was just thankful that they were healthy. But most of them were, you know, as kids go, most kids when they're first born are really pretty ugly. Till they get them all cleaned up and everything, you know. But they are. They're adorable. And they bring so much joy to your life. But the fact of the matter is, you can't let appearances fool you. That little bundle of joy is born with a depraved nature. And the Bible clearly teaches this, that children are born with a nature that opposes God. Now, theologically, there are Pelagians. Pelagius was an ancient theologian. He believed that children are born in complete innocence, and that it's their environment that makes them sin. In other words, if they were born and raised in a completely perfect environment, they'd be saved just by living out their life. It's heresy. And it's not only heresy, it's nonsensical. You have to deny so much of the Scripture to believe it. Believe it or not, the Church of Christ believes children are born in innocence. That they're not born as sinners. And I love when I knock on one of their preacher's doors. And we get to tangling, you know. You get a little, you start talking with them sometimes. And I say, now, what do you believe about man's total depravity? You believe it's inherent that they inherit that depravity? Oh, no. They're born without sin. And we just have to shape them and teach them. And I say, well, you know, that's strange. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you took this teaching to its logical conclusion, no infant would die. If there's no sin, there's no death. Now, you say, well, where do you believe they go when they die? I take the merciful side of God, that in a miraculous way, He regenerates them. And that they go to heaven. You say, well, give me a lot of scripture for that. I've got a couple of places. I'm not going to take the time to prove it. But I don't believe in infant reprobation. Okay? I believe that God, in His mercy, it's one of the reasons, logically, why I believe that it's one of the reasons heaven is going to be so populated, the eternal state. Because if you look at Matthew 7 and Jesus said, abroad is the way that leads to destruction and many there be that go in, go that way, and narrow is the way and few there be that find it. The fact is, when you start reading Revelation and it talks about thousands times ten thousands and thousands of thousands, a great number of the elect, I think a lot of it includes children that have died in infancy, all over the world, out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. But that is an inference I've made. I may be wrong about that. You can look me up in glory. If I am, the Lord will correct me. And I say things like that because I want you to understand something. Preachers are fallible. They have to get up four times a week and teach and preach. And I do my dead level best to preach, thus saith the Lord. But questions like that, where do infants go? They're very difficult to answer from the Scripture. So I take from the mercy of God and the love of God and the grace of God and examples throughout Scripture. But again, people believe, by and large, children are innocent. But they're born sinners. You'll see it at the very, you know, when they're very young. Right now, we got a couple little sinners living in our house. Aaron and Andre are building a cabin. They're staying with us right now. And we've got Asher and Elena. The kids are polar opposites in a lot of ways. Asher's kind of quiet and reserved. Elena, she is something else, man. But Elena could have everything right in her life, okay? I mean, everything. She's not wet. She's clean. She's fed. Everything's good. But she cries. Well, she starts crying about something. Why? She don't have her mother's full attention. See, kids, they want to be the center of the universe. Now, Aaron's here this morning, so I won't go into any details. But she is such an adorable kid. I mean, she is beautiful. The way she tries to talk, I mean, I'm just now starting to learn Elenaese. That's her language. I get about every third word that she said. But the fact of the matter is, she's a little sinner that needs instruction. She needs teaching. She needs bending. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. The Bible says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Psalm 58:3, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." You say, well, that's a pretty harsh thing about children. It's reality that parents better get a grasp of if they're going to teach their kids the truth and bend them towards the truth. Proverbs 22:15 says, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." When any society refuses to acknowledge the total depravity and corruption of fallen man, I guarantee you it's on the road to self-destruction. We're living in a day and age where children are very seldom, if ever, corrected for anything that they do. And it's as if they can do whatever they blessed well please. And that's not the way you raise a kid. Every child is born with a nature that's bent towards sin. So it's the responsibility of parents to recognize the facts of Scripture and restrain our children's conduct through training, loving, firm discipline, scriptural instruction, And let's face it, folks, we're living in a society where at least three generations of parents have failed to do this. And they've left things up to the experts. They've ceded their responsibility to the experts. By and large, and I really believe in the technology age, children, the parents, they're on their phone, they're on the internet, children are on the internet, everybody's on the internet, internet. Wi-Fi. I mean, one of the most valuable commodities in the world today. Do you have Wi-Fi? So we can get on to the internet. Oh, there's a lot of things. This Facebook Live that goes out. I can't believe how many people log on, access this. And I hope it's doing some good. But you know what? Things can be very distracting if you allow them. And I think that's, people are living distracted lives. And they're not disciplining, training, teaching their children. And I've said this for many years. It takes a lot of effort. And it's hard. I can remember how many times I, as a parent, felt like I was failing in so many respects. The thing you got to do in the training of children is just keep doing the next thing. You acknowledge where you need to improve and do the next thing. Don't give up. You got to be faithful to train and teach and instruct your children. And I think the best kind of discipline is teaching, training, scripture, reading the Bible, giving them little verses to memorize that they can hide in their hearts. All of our kids, we did that with our children. And they probably know verses today that we taught them when they were 5 years old, 6 years old. But here's what happens in a society where there's no biblical training. People grow up without any respect for authority. Authority in the home, authority in the church, authority in the workplace. Kids are being raised today with no respect for authority. And you know, the Bible has a lot to say about authority, and most people want to cast it completely off. But it's a source of protection. And parents, you have been given the responsibility to be the authority and to be the one that's protecting your children from this world. And so where this responsibility to train, to teach, to discipline, just a couple of verses. I already quoted Proverbs 22:15. Let's look at Proverbs 13. In verse 24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes, many times. Now, does that sound like Dr. Spock? Remember when Dr. Spock was all the rage? I'm dating myself a little bit, but his theories really took hold. Oh, you don't ever discipline your children. Don't do anything to hurt their self-esteem or their creativity. Let them act out. And just talk them through it. I'll tell you what, you might go that way for about a week or two. And you're going to find out you've got little monsters on your hands. If you don't teach them, if you don't train them, if you don't show them what's right and what's wrong, and that there are consequences for doing what's wrong. That's a simple principle in all of humanity set forth in the Word of God. Now, Dr. Spock says, if you discipline your children, you hate them. God says, if you don't discipline your children, you hate them. So who are you going to take? I believe in God. I believe in His Word. Proverbs 23 and verse 13 and 14. Withhold not correction from the child. If thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Now, somebody, is that advocating beating a child? Well, the language is pretty strong there, all right? But it's about correcting them with corporal punishment. And I think you should be wise in the way that you administer your discipline. But the fact of the matter is, there's going to come times you're going to have to spank your kids. Now, Al is looking at something. You've got the Hebrew word right in your mind, don't you? Do you? But it probably brings it out better. I don't have it in my notes. But I do believe the general teaching is here, you've got to use corporal discipline when your kids are willfully rebellious and they refuse instruction. Now, a lot of Baptist preachers would never even quote these verses because they're scared to death. Especially in the day and age in which we live. You know, they may clip this little portion out and put it, of course, you know, everybody thinks everybody's listening to everything you say on the internet. But if they clip that little part, listen to what this preacher believes. Well, a lot of times they take things out of context. Discipline. It's missing. It's one of the things that's brought about the road to ruin. Children are being raised with no real respect, no respect for authority, no understanding of what it means to obey. And we got to change it. We got to change it and pray that God will use His Word. That's the main thing, using the Word of God. I love the way my wife... She just has a way about her when she's explaining things to kids or correcting them. She always has a way of bringing the Scripture in and explaining why. It's powerful to see it on a day-in, day-out basis. And I thank God for her. She's been great at it. And you can ask my sons today. She had a lot of influence in their life scripturally. In the way we raised our kids. Thank God for that. I don't know, I rambled a little bit today. We'll get on to the next part next week. God bless you. We're dismissed.